Hey, this is Kurt Isles. I want to welcome you to the Creek Bank. At Creek Bank Stories, this is our writing ministry platform. I want to remind you can find out everything you want to know about Creek Bank Stories at our website, which is www.creekbank.net. It's creekbank.net. You can find out there about all our platforms, YouTube, podcasts, Facebook, email, letters, everything at the Creek Bank. .net. Hope you'll drop by. Today's story is one I really have enjoyed writing. Now, I want to tell you where I'm at. I'm going to be releasing a new short story collection on Black Friday. That's the day after Thanksgiving. And this book is called Where I Come From. And it features around about 50 stories. They're brand new. They've never been published in a book. And 50 stories is about 300 pages, so it's going to be just the right length for a good paperback. And we're putting it together right now, and I've really enjoyed going over these stories. Like I said, they're new stories, and putting a book together is over and over. You're doing drafts, and I've kind of reached a point where I'm sick of looking at them, but I'm not sick of today's story because it's a good story. I've titled it, When Two Fools Meet. When Two Fools Meet. And what today's story is about, trade-offs. Now, life is full of trade-offs. I've learned this in the season of life I'm at. Every trade-off, you'll gain and you'll lose. And so that's why we need to really think about every decision we make. Well, let me tell you the story, and we'll talk more about that. My son Clint, who's a forester, told me this story that took place supposedly in North Louisiana. There was a guy up there that had the best squirrel dog in the whole area. In fact, all of North Louisiana. Now, I want to put a peg down. If you've never hunted squirrels with a dog, you cannot understand how much fun it is. What you do in the squirrel season, you wait till the leaves have fallen, and a good squirrel dog will get after that squirrel in the ground and get up on the bark of a beech tree and be barking and everything. It's just fun. People love squirrel hunting with a dog. Well, this fella who's in North Louisiana had the best squirrel dog anywhere. That dog was renowned. And one day a fella from East Texas drove up and got out, went up to the dog owner and said, "Sir, I want to buy your dog." And the dog owner said, "This dog ain't for sale." And the man said, "Wait a minute." And there on the cab of his truck, on the hood of his truck, he started counting out $100 bills. He counted 50 of them. $5,000. And the dog owner said, "This dog ain't for sale." And the man with the money said, "I can't believe you would pass up a chance to have this much money. I can look around your place, look at your old vehicle and your house. You could use $5,000. The fellow said, "This dog ain't for sale." And the guy with the money said, "This is your last chance to get $5,000. And the man said, "This dog ain't for sale for no price." Now, all while this was going on, this conversation, to the side was the dog owner's old daddy. And when it ended, I love what he said. He said, "It's not every day I see two fools meet." Two fools meeting. He said, "One's a fool that's got $5,000 he'll pay for a dog. And the second fool won't take $5,000 for his dog." It's a good story, but it says a lot to me about trade-offs. I've learned, once again, that any decision you make is a trade-off. And there's some things or no trade, no goes. And we'll talk about those in a minute. But I want to talk about making decisions, hard decisions, about what you feel like God's guiding in your life. My sister Colleen, who I love so much, when she was a teenager, and she faced a tough decision, she'd rip a sheet out of her notebook, and she'd make a line down the middle and put pros on one side, cons on the other. And she'd write down all the reasons to do it, all the reasons not to do it. And that's a pretty good habit. I need to ask her if she's still doing that. In business, you have a similar thing. It's called a profit and loss statement, P&L, profit and loss. And in a business, at the end of the month, quarter, year, you write down all your profits, including your inventory. And then you list your losses. And hopefully in a business, in a home, in a family, in a church, in every organization, when we look at our P&L statement, the profits always outdo the losses. Profits and losses. Well, I want to tell you about, in my life and Dee Dee's life, two trade-off decisions we had to make. In 2012, Dee Dee had retired as a teacher, and we really felt like it was God's leading that we go as missionaries. And so we started the process of applying with our groups called the International Mission Board, and they had a special program for people over 50. We were both about 55 at this time. And so we said, let's just apply and see where it goes. Well, next thing we knew, over a period of months, we've been accepted. And we went to another meeting, and they assigned us to Uganda in Africa. Well, then we had a decision to make, because we knew this decision to go to Africa was a trade-off. We felt like it was going to be, we were in God's will, we're going to be doing God's work. We were excited about it. I'll be honest with you, I have a little adventure gene in me. Let me rephrase that. I got a lot of adventure gene in me. And so we were excited about going, but we also counted the cost of what we're going to lose. We weren't going to see our grandchildren for most of 3 years. We were leaving our family and friends behind. We were leaving a good church behind. It was a decision that there were gains and losses. We reached a decision on this that people are still thinking of as a scandal. We decided to sell our house, the house that we lived in for 28 years. It was not on family land, so we felt comfortable selling it. And it's during that time we raised our three boys there. So just, we love that house. But we knew that God was doing some things in our life. It was time to sell our house. Well, we didn't stop there, and the scandal continues. We decided if we're selling our house and being away for 3 years, we weren't going to store everything we had. We couldn't do it. So we had an estate sale. My sister Claudia helped us put together, and we had an estate sale of all estate sales. People came from everywhere to buy our stuff. And, of course, you know when you're selling things like that, you're selling them for pennies on the dollar. But Dee Dee and I just felt led that our trade-off was to get rid of all that. Now, we kept things that were sentimental and useful, put them in storage. But we made a decision. It had gains, and it had losses. But we felt like the decision had more gains, and that proved itself to be true. Recently, Dee Dee was in our Sunday school class, and they asked her to talk about our missions experience. And that's just talking to somebody, ask her, well, how did that feel to leave everything behind and go to Africa? Because we went to Africa, we had three big footlockers. They said, how did it feel to leave and go to Africa and leave everything behind? And Dee Dee said, real simple, I've never been more content in my life. It's a reminder that things don't matter. And when we make decisions, we should always look at the spiritual aspect of that decision. For me, a man of faith, I always want to include God in it. But I think God does guide through sometimes good accountability, good input from other people. Well, we had another decision to make. We stayed 3 years in Africa. Our term was for 2 years. We stayed an extra year. And now it's come back time to come back home. We're free agents. We don't own a house. We don't own a house in Dry Creek. We don't own a house anywhere. And so it became time to kind of talk about coming back. And everybody in Dry Creek expected us to come back. And over on my family land, we'd build a house and be right in the middle of all my family that's at the end of Clayton Isles Road. But that wasn't what the Lord led us. My wife, Dee Dee, is a lot wiser than me. She said, Kurt, we don't need to move back to Dry Creek. I said, okay. She said, we need to move to Alexandria. She said, that's where our grandchildren are. That was exactly right. That's where seven of our grandchildren live. They still live here in Alexandria. So what did we do? I became a city boy. We bought a house in Alexandria. We're close to our grandkids. We live in 2 miles of all of them. We go to church with them. We do things with them. We never miss a dance recital, a ball game, a taekwondo. We go to it all. Now, I want to say this. That was a trade-off. I miss things in Dry Creek. Now, I'm sitting at the old house in Dry Creek today, but and I still come for my weekly fix, but I miss being here all the time. I miss the stars at night. I miss the crickets at night. I miss my tractor. I wish I still had my tractor to bush hog. There's a lot of things that I lost when I moved away from Dry Creek. But oh, the gains of being near my grandchildren. On that sheet where you draw a line down the middle, we decided that being with our family trumped everything else. Well, as I get ready to close, I have one more good story. My cousin, Mark Roy, was quite the character. Anyone that knew Mark would say he was larger than life. He was exuberant. I just love being around him. He was exuberant. He was excited about life, his family, the Lord. Mark Roy was larger than life. He was known as the best carpenter in the whole Iowa area, and so he was well known by everybody. Well, last year, suddenly, Mark died of a heart attack. He was about my age, and it just shocked everybody. At his funeral, now I will say this, it was a sorrowful funeral, but it was a funeral of joy. And one of the reasons for that was that Mark loved the Lord, and he'd lived a full life, even though it wasn't as long as we'd expect it to be. And during the eulogy part of the service, all three of his son-in-laws got up and told the story. Mark and Debbie had three daughters, three beautiful daughters, and each of their husbands, the son-in-laws of Mark and Debbie, got up and basically told the same story. Hey, I was nervous the day I had to go talk to Mr. Mark about marrying his daughter. And he was out in the field working, and I came up, and I think he had an idea of what I was there for, and he just let me wait. Finally, I got the courage to say, Mr. Mark, I'm asking your permission to marry your daughter. And Mark looked at him a long time and said, this ain't Walmart. There ain't no returns. I love that saying. And he told each one of the three future son-in-laws, this ain't Walmart. There ain't no returns. So there's some things you will not return. There's some things that are not trade-offs. They're what I call irrevocable no's. There's some things you're not going to do. In fact, sometimes the best decision on a trade-off is no decision, to make no decision at all. Well, it's been good sharing with you about trade-offs. We've enjoyed you being here. I'm sure in the background you've seen my dog Bandit. And we've had a good time here at the old house. And hope you'll join us again soon when we come to you from Creek Bank Stories. And of course, in the meantime, we'll leave that screen door unlatched just for you.